All right, the Lord is good. So let's quickly rush through it. We want to just, I began to do last time, to see some principles of praying for the change of a season. So we began to see the principle of praying to change a season. And the Bible says that there is a proper time and there's a proper procedure for every event. And you see, the wise must take that to heart. Know that there's a proper time and there's a proper procedure. One of the major things you must learn in life, that is, as you are beginning to learn, understand the proper procedure for everything. Like they say all the time, you cannot want to play basketball and go and use the rules of football. They will kick you out in the first few seconds. And you cannot try to play football, that's a Nigerian, English type of football, and use the rules of basketball. You're out of the game. In fact, the referee will also warn you. In fact, these days, you deliberately pick the ball, it's one red card, straight, you are out. So you must understand the proper procedure. You know, I was listening to Miles Monroe today. Chima was around last week, and he gave me that CD. In fact, he got to a point, I just called my wife. I said, you must listen to this CD. All right, he said something very striking, very interesting. In fact, you see, a few days ago, my wife picked a jotter that I had on the house, which I've had, you know, you keep writing. I write down a lot. So sometimes I find a piece of paper that I wrote something I wanted to teach on maybe like 2 years ago, and I forget. So my wife, something dropped out from the jotter she picked, and I picked and said, that's mine. And I wrote something. Four things. I said I'm going to teach on a school of prayer, but I forgot. I said, when I'm talking about prayer, we break prayer into four things. That is, the things we ask for. I said, number one, there are things you must never ask for. There are things you should not ask for. There are things you should ask for, or you can ask for, and there are things you must ask for. That is, there are things you must pray about, there are things you should pray about, there are things you shouldn't pray about, and there are things you must never pray about. You know, just to add that one to it, God was speaking with Moses, and Moses kept on begging about something. And the Lord said, don't talk to me about that thing again. That's something you must never pray about. And there are things the Lord said you must pray about. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into the harvest field. So as a preacher, don't ever forget to pray that prayer. As Christians, we must never forget to pray that prayer. Anyway, I'm not discussing that in details now. Just telling you there are some certain principles about things. So you must learn that. So Miles Morrow was saying, now let me get back to Miles Morrow. He said that PS, like Sunday morning worldwide, is the largest gathering of pagans, and they call themselves Christians. Why? Because, listen, no, when he said it, I understood. Because you've heard me say things along that line before. He said, Jesus said, these are the things that the Gentiles seek. These are the things that the pagans run after. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. So when we, as I talk about that, there are things that it's not you must never ask for, but you shouldn't ask for. That's where that's what it falls into. That's the category it falls into. Jesus said, you know, he said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. These are the things that the Gentiles, the pagans, they seek. Their prayer point is centered around that. So Miles Morrow said, it appears like that's the largest gathering of paganism. That's churches on Sunday mornings. Because most of the prayer points are, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. And we'll focus on that. What am I trying to explain? There are rules that govern things. And we must learn those rules. When we don't understand it, we spend our energy needlessly. I keep talking about how to labor correctly. There's a proper labor. That's why we're talking about praying now. There's a proper way to pray so that people's seasons can change. And that's what we've been explaining. Not just to come out and talk. I'm happy we call this school of prayer, not just prayer time. It's what? School of prayer. Supposed to learn the principles that, you know, under guide or under guard prayer. Things that you put in your mind as you are praying. All right? Now, there's a principle, or there are things we must understand when we're talking about praying about changing a season. Number one. Seasons don't change spontaneously. They are commanded by God. Are you getting my point? He said, from there, God commanded the blessings, life everlasting. They are commanded. Times and seasons are in his hands. Bear that one in mind. I like the way the angel said it. Daniel said it to Nebuchadnezzar, interpreting the dream anyway. He said that heavens rule in the affairs of men. Now, bear that in mind. What that means is that why things change on the earth is not because people want them to change. It is because the season, all right, has come for them to change as determined by heaven. Bear that in mind. Look at And the Arab countries, you understand? You know what's going on? They call it the Arab Spring, all right? You know, that time when the thing began in Libya, I said, oh, how I wish Libya had a Daniel as a counselor. And that Daniel's name was Pastor Banky. You know, my other name is Daniel. I had a counsel for Gaddafi. The moment the thing began, I said, gosh, this man should be able to discern the times and the seasons. He should know he's going. From day one, the first gathering, I knew the man was going. Are you spiritual? No, it's not spiritual. Just Jesus said, take a lesson from the fig trees. Just observe what is going on. Come on, a small boy burnt himself protesting the fact that they seized his fruit cart where he used to sell stuff by the name Mohamed Bouazizi. And riots broke out. As a result of that, the head of state was thrown away. The most powerful man in the Middle East then, most established, was the Egyptian president by name of Mubarak. Hosni Mubarak. Then he went. So I felt like calling Gaddafi. I said, wait. Fight the rebels. Not because you think you will stay, but to give yourself negotiating power. Then after, when there's a small stalemate, just simply tell the rebels that, okay, why should we are brothers? Why are we killing ourselves? What do you want? And negotiate a safe passage for all your family members. UN will gladly support the deal. The League of Arab Nations will gladly support the deal. And you will tell them, say, there's no trouble. They will say, you have to leave. Say, no problem. Just go to Saudi Arabia for 15 years. In that period, you're likely to be dead anyway. And some of the children can go back home. But the small boy came on TV. We will fight to the last bullet. We will fight to the last drop of blood. Where is it? Last bullet has been fired into his father. The last drop of blood has been shed his own. Do you get what I'm saying? Foolishness. Somebody say foolishness. She understands seasons. Miles Monroe says many years ago, when I listened to him, he said, listen, you must understand seasons. You cannot say I'm a man of faith. It's winter. You just walk out like this. The cold cannot catch me. All right. Cold won't catch you. It'll kill you. You understand what I'm saying? Seasons. It's cold. Then you dress up, you know, to keep warm. It's hot. You shed the excess luggage. You understand my point? That's the point. So that's the way it is. Why I'm bringing, anyway, let's not sit on that. The point I'm making is that, why did the Arab Spring problems begin? It's not human. People have tried to say CIA is not CIA, nothing. Everybody's surprised at what's going on. It's because God said it is the time. I'm emphasizing the fact that seasons are in God's hands. He dictates how they change and when they change. Don't ever forget that. But we're talking specifically not about seasons outside. We're talking about what? Your personal season. You know, that's what we're talking about. How do you engineer the change of seasons? I said last time, your time won't change just because the day of the year is changing. December 31st has no special spiritual significance. You can be sure of that. Next year is my year of this. Stop making those statements except you have a reason for it. Because you say, no, I'm saying it by faith. I said, then why wait till next year? Why not now? If it's really faith, then why are you saying next year? Why not say tomorrow? Are you getting my logic? So when you want to say next year, it should be based on reasons. So I want to help Christians remove that thing from their minds. It's not because the year has come, a new year has come. Now this year I've turned 25, I've turned 32, I've turned 39, I'm now 46. No. What determines change, let me summarize what we said last time, is when the individual changes. Are you getting my point? Change is when the individual changes. That is what manifests outside. There's a scripture I sought out just now. We'll read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Please notice this thing. Very important. There's a principle here. It's from verse 35, but where I'm going is around verse 38. It says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, he said, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but the bare grain, perhaps of wheat and of something else. But God, this is where I'm going, verse 38. But God gives it a body, just as he wished, that is, he predetermined, proposed from the beginning. And to each of the seeds, a body of its own. Now, listen to this. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another flesh of fish. Now, please, I won't read them further. The principle I want to bring out here is what he said in that verse 38, that God gives a body according to the kind of seed that something has. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you look outwardly, Jesus said, a body thou hast prepared for me. Every seed has his own body. Now, it's a principle I'm bringing out from there, like I said. What I mean is this, body refers to what you see outwardly. Are you getting me? Now, that kind of body that you see outwardly is given because of the kind of seed that is present inwardly. Now, please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Let me quickly explain this principle briefly, all right? I won't sit on it. You know, I said to you before, when go and read the Bible. You see it in that book, shall I say yes? When God brought Eve to Adam, do you understand my point? He didn't say, I have given you a wife. In that book, I talked about arranged marriages. God did not even... Arranged marriages are good, amen? It's the will of God, perfect will of God, all right? But I didn't say forced marriages, not coerced marriages, all right? I can arrange and give you a wife, a husband. But when he comes, say you not agree or you agree. Well, you know where I'm going there? Who made Eve? God. For whom? Adam. But he didn't force Eve upon Adam. He brought Adam to see what he would call her. He had brought everything to Adam to see what Adam would call them. Go and read the context. And the Bible says that after Adam went through everything, in everything, none was fitting, you know, what he was looking for. So God now created Eve, a body that was prepared for me. That is, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. That seed, the helper fitting for Adam, all right, determined that God should make Eve the way she was because he could see the seed that was necessary. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. And then he confirmed that just brought her to Eve, brought her to Adam. Adam by himself said, God didn't say, this is a wife. He made her. He did not know what was going on. And I said, there's another one now. He just said, this is what we have been looking for. Are you getting my point? Now, he didn't say, this is bone of my bones. Did he say that? He said, this is now. That is, I have tried. They not work. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes, so I tell people, I'm talking about marriage now. I don't know why I've gotten into that, but I know you always enjoy it, so let's stay there for 2 minutes. Steve-o. Now, this is just by the way. Therefore, listen to me. No matter how much a man prophesies, if you don't see him and say, this is, you get my point? Forget it. You know, don't let nobody impress you with prophecy. And do you follow my point? And no matter how much they arrange for you and you are sure Pastor Frank knows what he's doing, he knows once you see the woman, he doesn't feel like, you get my point? Forget it. Forget. There's no prophetic word that you will act upon to overcome that one. God had to ask Adam, you agree? Adam said, If, before God talk, God said, Alpha, can I? God said, no, that's why I brought her in the first place. You get what I'm saying? All of you are feeling, when I get there, I can feel the joy in the air. I just use that one to bring out an issue. All right? That the body was made to fit what? The seed. Now, this is a mistake we make a lot of time when we're talking about change. We have identified the body. Are you getting my point? But we don't know the seed. We have a desire for that body. When I'm talking about seed now, that is the thing inside that God gave the body to. You follow what I'm saying? So those things outside we are looking for, we are using as a type now, all right? They are the body. And God gives the body only to the seed. Are you getting my point? The body he gives to each individual kind of seed. He has appointed a kind of body. Therefore, when we identify the kind of change, the place we want to be next, it is not just because we desire it. Listen to this. They came to Jesus and said, we want to sit on your left and your right in your kingdom, James and John. He said, that is the body. You have identified those positions. He said, but the next is that, are you able? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That was the next question. Are you able? That is, your prayer point should be for ability, not for the space. The space is automatic if you are able. You get what I'm saying? I say this all the time, that what a man, what a woman gets in life is a kind of spirit that the person has. Life is controlled by spiritual forces. That's what I started by explaining. That heavens rule in the affairs of men. He said it clearly. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things that we see did not come out of the things that are visible.
Things you see outwardly are shaped spiritually. This is how Christians labor correctly. I'm going somewhere. That is, they want to sit on the left and on the right. They start walking with prayer and fasting, if necessary, confession of the word, until they are able to drink the cup that is able to drink, that is going to drink, and until they are able to pass through what he's about to pass through. As for the positions on the left and on the right, forget it. If the seed is correct, the body will be given. Do you get my point? Last time we ended by talking about praying, reviewing your life. That's how we ended our prayer last night. Can you remember? 4 years ago, I was one way. Am I still the same way 4 years after? We read what Elihu said, "That which I see not, teach thou me." That is, what we're picking from that is that, how have I lived? Because you see, this is one thing that for me, it's an issue all the time. Let me say something to us again about the will of God. There is a perfect will of God. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
There is what? The perfect will of God. But the perfect will of God is not what we experience a lot of times. And the reason is because even though God has a will, he does not impose it. That's why it's a prayer point. Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. If it normally will flow correctly, and that's automatically, Jesus would not have a prayer point. But because it doesn't flow automatically, it became a prayer point. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm bringing an issue here, alright? So, what we experience as the will of God is often, to certain degrees, almost all the time, most of the time, to certain degrees, it is limited by certain things in us. I don't know how, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That's a matter of fact, though. That is, you hear me say all the time, I'm talking about kingdom word now. There are things I'm doing, all right? You know, you all know about it, all right? We're teaching, we're packaging materials and all of that. No matter how satisfied I want to be, I refuse, no matter how well I feel I should be satisfied, all right? No matter how much I want to be okay with it, I refuse to be. Do you know why? Don't ever deceive yourself that what you're experiencing is what God wants perfectly at that particular point in time. Don't ever deceive yourself. There's a limitation you have placed upon God. You'll have been beyond the place where you are right now. He said, what about seasons? Yes, you may be in a season, but within that season, that's how human beings are. So that's why every day, prayer in that regard must never leave your heart. What am I saying? I sit down sometimes at home, I have thought patterns. And the Bible says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. I hope you know that. Yes. There are things you are doing, and it appears like God is blessing it, but God said, what you have seen is 30-fold. It's great blessing, because everybody around you is on 0 to 1-fold. So you experiencing 30-fold, you are excited. That if you have just changed that thought pattern slightly, you'll have moved up to 60-fold. And if you have worked on it very well, you will hit 100-fold. What am I saying? Even in ministry, every day, or almost every day, I pray a prayer. Lord, I beg. I have thought patterns, I have ideas, I have thinking patterns. Anyone that is hindering the work that we call Kingdom World Ministries from hitting the level where it's supposed to be, Father, I beg. Reveal it that we might repent of it and move into the next one. Because, listen, I said to you all last time, your body, you know, you understand what I'm saying now, cannot change until the seed changes. Are you getting me? In fact, anytime in your spirit or your desires, you are pushing, you are desiring something bigger than what you are in right now, don't first ask for that thing. And that's what I'm talking about today. Ask, what is it that I should become, that thing can become manifested outside? Do you get my point? Now, this is must be handled carefully. I'm not talking about you are looking for results as if you want to copy somebody else. Bishop Oyedepo has churches all over the world and has 2 universities. You want to become like that? Not necessarily. Are you getting my point? Because all of this, I was talking about the will of God earlier, all right? There's a perfect will of God.
And it is not perfect will. It is not the perfect will of God that every Christian who is a preacher will have a church that's all over the world and have two universities. No. There are men who are called to do it. There are some who are not called to do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some. So you have to be careful when you are looking at these things. But when God puts something, you see, and that's why you don't have any other thing in life to do but to keep on fine-tuning your life with the word of God. Because, you know why I said that? It will remove the desires created by other people's achievements out of your life. Yes, there are desires created in people by other people's achievements. What God wants is a desire that he planted in you from the foundation of the world. That which he made you to become. Not desires created by other people's achievements. There are pastors that have started churches and nobody sent them there. Why? Because their friend who God created to be something else is a pastor of a church and they are 15,000 inside. So it feels like a failure every day. Meanwhile, God said, you are a missionary. From Congo, you are going to go to Malawi. From Malawi, you are going to South America. From South America. Yes, it's true. I mean, that's what this man did all the days of his life. One of the greatest men that lived in recent times, Lester Sumrall. Planted the church he left behind. But he planted churches everywhere. Are you getting my point? Now, so what I'm saying is that when you're on the proper line, all right, when you need to move to the next level, the movement to the next level does not change, does not come automatically. That's number one. It does not come just because the season, the time, chronological time has changed. No, it comes when the chronological time is required. First, God must change the person so that person can move to the next level. The change comes when the person has changed to that next level. Therefore, the prayer, that's where I'm going, the prayer must be for the change to the next level. Let me explain it like this. If you know where you are supposed to go for whatever reason, what you do is you start asking God, how are men, women in those positions supposed to be like? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. A ruler is a ruler. Is that here an amen? You'll see what I'm saying in a moment. Whether he's ruling sheep or ruling countries. That's David. Whether he's ruling prisoners or he's ruling the greatest nation in the world at that time. That's Joseph. What am I saying? In prison, a man can become so ready. You know, I told you before, your life is not an accident. Is that here an amen? It is not an accident. That message by Miles Moses I was listening to, he said something that's so striking. He described how he grew up in a small house with many brothers, I think 11 or 12 brothers and sisters, and they used to fight over everything. There was no space for everybody. His father was a Baptist pastor, and things were rough and rough. But let me make a long story short. That today, he's a multi-millionaire, flies two private jets, has two of them. He told the story of one day he landed somewhere in the U.S. and the plane that landed beside him belonged to Oprah Winfrey. Two of them came and started chatting. I've seen you before. Me too, I've seen you before. You know, they started chatting. That's the kind of man that he is now. He said, I became all of this and I'm still on that same island. I don't know what I said. The island where he grew up, where his father and mother had 11 or 12 children inside one or two rooms. Eh? He said he's still on that island. The Bahamas. Why did I say that? The eye of the Lord runs to and fro. It checks Enugu, checks Abakaliki, checks Lagos, checks anywhere. Some people think that God's eyes cannot see if you are not in Lagos. God's eyes cannot see you if you are not in America. No, if the ruler is ready, even if he's in jail, God's eyes will go there and bring him out of prison. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's why that thing that Miles Monroe said is so striking. For me, of course, because I'm a Nigerian, I know what's going on in Nigeria right now. It struck me when he said, I became all of this and I'm still on that island. He has moved around. He went to school in the US. He came back. He's been here and there. He's moved all over the world. He said, guess what? I am still on that island. From that island, in fact, one day I heard David Ogbueli talking about how he visited the church, Miles Monroe's church in Bahamas. And he was shocked at how small it is. Why? Because, now listen to this. He's thinking like a Nigerian, all right? The Nigerians, we have 150 million people. Amen? Yes. And we go from, most of the time we go to America. The largest church in UK is populated by Nigerians. It's true. Martin Oashi Molo's church, who they go there? Look, the congregation, how many white people do you see? Unless those ones just marry white people. 99% are black people. Of that 99%, 90% are Nigerians, the rest are Ghanaians. Huh? No, not being sought, now fact. You never notice them? Next time, sit down and watch TV. You won't know it's London. It's London. It's London. They are all black. Look, that's why it's so striking that Sunday Adelaja, his own is very interesting. He's the one that's most... that's the one that's most interesting. You go to his church, they're all white. And that's the biggest church in Europe. Now, anyway, what I'm talking about is this. So, you see, he's thinking like a Nigerian because we are plenty and we congregate. In Nigeria, you have a church. In Enugu, 500 people. It's not a big church. In Lagos, your church has 5,000 people. You did try. That guy's coming up. He's coming up. You are coming up. Because Bishop Oyedepo having situated a church somewhere in the bush, that church can seat 50,000 people at a time. And they still do two services. Oh, are they, is it four now? The Lord is good, though. So, now, let me not leave my matter. That's why Reverend Ogboili went to Bahamas and was shocked. Why was he shocked? Because he knew Miles Monroe. I mean, I started listening to Miles Monroe in the year 1995. Before then, he had been to Nigeria. Church of God Mission, Benin. Are you getting me? That was 1994 or so. Miles Monroe was already known worldwide more than 10 years ago. So that's why he wanted to pay pilgrimage to the church, only to get there. And he thought maybe you see another owner's chapel. No, just someone nice, small, relative. That's Nigerian standard. Nigerian standard, small. By that country standard, is the biggest church in the country. Where am I going to? But from that place, I carried a few of his tapes and changed my friend's ministry in Port Harcourt. I just said, man of God, take. He listened to Miles Monroe, his whole life changed. From that place, we invited a man of God to come and preach in our convention once. He just came, vomited Miles Monroe beginning to the end. And as he was preaching, my brethren were not, yes, quoting it correctly. Yes, that line is right. Because my brethren did the jack word. So by the time you come, quoting one man of God, all of them, in fact, yesterday's Bible study, that was our man they studied with the book. So don't think you came to bring high. If you want to quote a man, go to those my brethren that time in Benin. Eh? Tell them, brethren, I read Kenneth Hagin yesterday and he's, it's better. Don't go and pretend like now you. They've read the book. Don't worry. The point I'm making, let me not leave the point, is that from there, Miles Monroe shook the whole world and is still shaking the whole world. From there, he became and is still getting richer. All right? He became so wealthy that when he lands, it's Oprah Winfrey and co. that are parked beside him. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's from there. So you see, it's not outward. We don't struggle for the body. We struggle for the seed. And God will give the body if the seed is properly fashioned. What am I saying? That's how we change. You can't force the seasons to change. You can't. Outwardly, this is you go change by force. The change is an automatic response. All right, the outward change is an automatic response to the inward change. Automatic. Are you following my point? So this is how we pray. This is the next level you are believing you will get to. In fact, this is the best way to handle it. Think of the ultimate level. I don't know what you understand what I'm saying. Let's assume you feel every time you're thinking about it, what you're thinking about is politics, rulership, and you're a Nigerian. So the highest thing you can be in Nigeria is what? A president. Before I tell you what to do, let me quickly tell you something that I learned long ago. You know why Solomon was so good a king? I told you before. It was an extension of the days of David. But how did David do it? I read the Bollinger's commentary on the first few chapters of Proverbs. And after studying those Proverbs very well, I realized they were not the Proverbs of David and of Solomon. They were the Proverbs of who? Of David. Listen, David had a problem with marriage. I hope you know that. He was not a happily married man. He wasn't. Go and read your Bible very well. You can't be a happy father when your son is raping your daughter, and then the brother of the girl kills the other one. It didn't start that day. I hope you know. Amnon was a bad boy from the beginning. You need to open the door for devils to jump into you. These are things he was doing to slave girls in the house. I know what I'm saying. Later I'll talk about how to be established in life. Amnon was doing those things to the servant girls. You think he started with Tamar? The evil spirit, it improved. You hear what I said? They got worse. There was one evil spirit on Amnon before. When judgment went to come upon David, they increased. They opened door. He was now tired of the servant girls. And let's not talk about that one. The point is that David was not a happy guy. All those wives, when they heard that Nabal was dead, he was very happy. Because when Abigail came to greet him, he was looking at Abigail like this from top to bottom. He didn't look at Abigail. Because of Abigail, the woman, David was so attracted to her, but a married woman. It's okay, go home. Next day, he said, Bobo, don't die. Oh, boy, father. Now he rushed, carried the wife, out. When he took the throne, the first thing he did was to recover his wife, Micah. You remember? Yeah. Now, so they married. Why did David marry? They passed four. At least we are sure of four. There are plenty. The Bobo wasn't happy. That's how they were having stupid sons, crazy daughters. We don't know much about the daughters. Some of the wives are very, very, very useless wives, like Michael. Michael would abuse his husband for public. You see any woman like that, call her to the side and rebuke her. Pastor, begin to abuse your husband public. That's right. Now, what's the summary? None of them was fitting, listen to this, to be king after David. So when the story of Solomon came up, that's where I'm going. When the story of Solomon came up, that's where I'm going. David had learned his lesson. There will be no other Absalom in this house. No other Amnon in this house. All those other boys, I won't replicate any one of them in this house. Bollinger said this was what he did. Now I'm adding many things together. He took Solomon from the day he was a child. He was taught on how to be a king. The other boys, what's up, guys? What's happening? Say, fine boy, Absalom. Absalom will shake his head like this. All the girls go for. And that's what he was doing. Just going around doing fine boy. All the parties in town, they go invite the prince. Prince go come, yay, yo, everybody will be happy. That's what I'm not used to do. Trust me. Believe me, I wasn't there, but I know. David said, never. Not Solomon. So Solomon, you don't drink in the morning. Yeah. He taught Solomon in the beginning, no drinking in the morning. I want to say, yes, sir. Taught him everything. This is how kings behave. If you ever have to make a choice, all right, choose wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Exhort her, she will promote you. That was David talking to Solomon, and both directly and through the school that he created for him alone. Listen to me, let me tell you the truth. Eh? Just by the way. Democracy is not the best form of government. Most of the people you find that become presidents now don't know how to do it. The best form of government, just like, listen, if you want a doctor, do you want a man who they voted into the medical office? You want an architect to build the best house you've ever dreamt of in your life? Kingdom people will now vote. Then I will come and say, I've been the pastor here. Have you been blessed by the word I've been preaching? They say, yeah, vote for me, the architect over your house. Think about it for a moment. That's what we are doing, what we call democracy. It's tomfoolery. We are fooling ourselves.
about it now. You have a case. They are charging you wrongly for murder. You want us to vote on who will be your lawyer? Vote for Steve. See the vibrancy with which he utters the word and prays. He will convince the judge with that one. He says, Steve, I beg. I know this will not be church. I beg. This is not court. Listen to me. The best rulers were trained to be rulers. Listen, I'm telling you. Why the way... Oh, I'm digressing. I know I'm going somewhere. But what the world experiences, you know, each time, God really gives people the best under the circumstances. He said to them, Jesus said, in the beginning it was not so. But because of the stubbornness of your heart, God allowed Moses to tell you that. He said, America is shouting as if democracy is the best. Democracy is definitely not the best. It is not. It's just that after you had a lot of crazy people calling themselves kings in Europe. Yes. All the Absaloms and Amnons became kings all over Europe. God had to shut down monarchy in Europe. In Africa, when you had crazy military men oppressing and killing, God had to shut them down too. The best option for now, in quote, is democracy. The real one that God ordained, go and check it, in Israel, kings were meant to come only from Judah. There was no democracy. The only thing is that you are supposed to teach your sons how to be kings. You tell them when to drink. Listen, go till now. Go to the ruling house in London. Go and, you know, go and check them out. All of them will go to ministry school. These men, no. Let Prince Charles discuss economics with you. Williams, all those boys. They, till now, though they are not real kings anymore, they are trained to be kings. If it's this modern day, listen, they will take a course in computer science, take a course in engineering, economics, aeronautics, they will go to... Those boys will learn until their heads almost break. Then from amongst them, they choose the best. Usually the first one, if he's sensible, become the king. So listen, that's how it is. They go church, almost become this thing, you know, canon. That's how kings are supposed to be trained. So just the same way you train a doctor, becomes a specialist. You train a king, he becomes a king. But you know, human beings don't increase well. Power corrupts. So they have been corrupted. It's not today. Anyway, just I hope you, that's not prayer point, but you learn something there, Sha. I get, you know. It's not my fault. Sometimes when you're talking, the thing we just jam, you know, just everybody says, save me. So you say the ones you can. And this is where I'm going. If you want to be a ruler, go to the training of what rulers are supposed to be. Are you getting my point? And when that seed is ready, God will give it his body. I don't know what I heard. That's why I said all of those things. Whatever it is you want your situation in life to become, ask yourself, people under this or this kind of circumstance, what does the Lord want them to be? And train to become that thing. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the way it is. Now, focus on that. Listen to this. This is what happens. As you improve, God will continually change your environment. Are you getting what I'm saying? People say that, how come God is not putting Christians in power? You know the truth? Most of us don't know how to rule yet. We don't know how to rule yet. You know how you know? Just take your prayer point over the last 1 year. Once it's what you shall eat, what we shall drink, where shall we be clothed, just know you are not qualified to be a governor. Forget it. Once it is what you shall eat, what we shall drink, where shall we be clothed, you are not qualified to be a governor. That's what I am saying. Most of us are not qualified. We think we are. We have this spirit of self-righteousness. If you know how God judges, you will know that the reason why he leaves us out is because truly we are not qualified. And like God doesn't want disgrace. If an unbeliever does these things, you understand? It's not a problem. It's in keeping with his character. But when a Christian does it, and he says he's a Christian, can you believe it? Pastor, there was one bank MD that time. They were abusing him in paper. When they want to abuse him, they call him pastor. How many of you know what I'm talking about? when they want to abuse him, the new MD, the new board, the new management of the bank. They say, can you imagine? Pastor said, this is what pastor was doing. It was embarrassment. You take newspaper, cover your head like this. Because you're a Christian too. So God doesn't want too many pastors. Is the man way or dinner? God doesn't want too many pastors who their name pastor in the page of newspaper and a disgrace. They say, okay, pastor, just stay in church. Let me appoint Alaji, the minister. Nobody will say Alaji, you know. That's what's going on. That is what is what? Going on. What am I saying? If you and I want to reign, we must train so we can reign. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, we have to. We have to. So whatever it is in life, start thinking, start meditating, start changing towards that. Listen, your prayer for change is not the prayer for outward change, it's prayer for what? Inward change. You pray that God should give you understanding on how people in the level where you are going to next are supposed to be. That it should make you become like that. Listen, even though you are called, no matter how anointed Joseph was, no matter how anointed he was, the way his father was treating him, that boy wasn't planning to go anywhere. Are you getting my point? So his father sliced him off from his... Sorry, God sliced him off from his father. That go was a good boy. Very good. He had all the training of righteousness in his soul. But, no, don't go too far. There are snakes over there. Don't. Joseph, come back. Don't contest, though. You know these counselors, they can be dangerous. Joseph, come. Hey, after some time, the angel said, God, what do we do? I send him to prison. Send him to inter slavery. So they said, his brothers are wicked, good instruments. His brothers are ringed and send the guy away. Said the father, you don't die now. The father was saying that if you remove Joseph, I will just die. Did he die? That was when Joseph finally did the last bit of growing up. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The point is this, Joseph needed to be trained. That's what I'm saying. Our prayer for change, listen, let me just say this. Many things, all right, are added together before manifestations come. There's an issue of divine timing. When I say divine timing, now let me explain what I'm saying. I say this all the time. Joshua could not enter the promised land until Israel was ready to enter. Are you getting my point? So even though he was ready on day one, we have evidence from the scriptures that he was ready from the beginning. But he had to wait. So those are the kind of things I'm saying. In the same manner, all right, there may be times that your appointment, let me use that word, all right, is going to manifest based on things that are outside you. Now, this is the lesson. You must be ready before that time. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That's it. You must be ready before that time. Because if that time comes before you are ready, one of two things will happen. Somebody better than you may be picked, or you will be used just like that, and you will make a mess of the whole thing. Do you follow my point? You may be picked just like that, somebody better than you may be picked, or you may be picked just like that. Unfortunately, if that happens, you will make a mess of the whole thing. And you don't want that. We said there are different stages in life. There's a stage of God calling you. There's a stage of God choosing you. And then there's a stage of God establishing you. If you go into that phase that I was talking about of your appointment without being ready, you will never make it to the stage of being established. You understand what I'm saying? You won't make it to that stage of being established. So this is what we do for change. And that's why we're talking about prayer. Because our focus is not on outward change, but being ready for the time that our manifestation is supposed to be.
Are you getting my point? Our focus is on the inward change so that we will become the person that qualifies to carry the weight of glory. I don't know what I heard I said. Glory has weight too. What did I say? The day I was talking with Reverend Wosho, I was just saying that, look, blessings are difficult to carry. A lot of people, I said that the word glory in the Hebrew, in the Greek, is the word doxa, which literally means weight. That, in fact, that's when it struck me that Paul said, the weight of what? Glory. Glory has weight. If you don't have muscles, you can't carry it. If you don't have the proper spiritual, you know what I'm saying? You can't carry it. When I say you can't carry it, what I mean is that it will wreck you. Then Reverend Wosho was telling me stories of the time they went to a particular country and the door opened, you know, seriously. One of the men that escorted him, now, get what I'm saying? Maybe we are going to, Onitsha to go and preach. And Yinka and Bishop followed me to Onitsha to go and preach. Then by the time we finished preaching, so powerful was the message, we're leaving. The people say, please now, don't go, don't go. That's what happened to him. Don't go now. And I said, sorry, I have to go. So one of these men, I said, sir, can I stay behind? That was what happened to him. One of the men that escorted him to that country requested to be allowed to stay behind. The man blessed him and allowed him to stay behind on his own. Said the church grew to maybe like a size of like 5,000 people in a short while. But the man could not carry the glory. He will come to church on Sunday, praise the Lord. By the time they leave in church, they have dashed him a car. Say, Pastor, you were such a blessing today. This motor car is your own. He was swimming in glory with a capital G. But the thing was heavy. He couldn't carry it. In a short while, I don't know. It didn't last long. I don't know, maybe last 2 years or short while after. Stories don't begin. Pastor, they misuse church money. A pastor misusing church money can never scatter a church. It can't. I know what I'm saying. What scatters the church, that particular one, was worse than that. Is when pastors start misusing church women. Church money is not a problem. Read your Bible. Eli's sons. Samson. You see what I'm saying? It was when pastor began to misuse church women. Unfortunately, this was not Nigeria. It's another African country. And they boot pastor, the church closed. So the day that man of God was giving me the gist, he said the summary was that young man couldn't carry the glory. It was heavy. It was heavy. You know, the other day I was reading, I get these mails from Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner said that, now, this is just by the way, we're talking about weight. Rick Joyner said, once in a while, he just gathered some courage to Google up his own name. That when you see the kind of things they write against him, about him, some people will say, the day he came to their church to preach and the things he preached, and this is a church he has never been to, he doesn't even know where it is. And they will lie about him, that he said Jesus is coming 5 times. You know, all kinds of things, they will write it. And I read, is it Theodore Epp? Or what's his name? Either Theodore Epp or Charles Finney, one of the two of them. He said, among the keys to spiritual power, you are not allowed to respond. You hear what I said? On the internet, they're writing your name, that he came to Enugu the other day to preach, and he said that Jesus and Satan are friends, and you didn't come to Enugu, you don't even know where Enugu is. And they said, key to spiritual power, don't answer. My brother, you know the answer he had. I think I still have that thing in my house. Small sleep like this. I think it's Charles Finn that said it. Talking about keys to spiritual power. One of them is, under such circumstances, don't answer. One day they criticized this man so badly. What is his name? The brother, Watchman Nee. People say, why won't you talk? Answer now. He said, there's no need. He said, why not? He said, if they trust us,
No, he said, how did he say it again? He said, if the people we are talking to, if they trust us, it was not necessary. If they don't trust us, they wouldn't believe us anyway. So why talk? I don't know where they get the point. They were calling him names, insulting him left and right. He said this, he did this. The man did not utter a word in defense. Till now, I don't fully understand. You have the money. Just take newspaper advert. Disclaimer. Have you? Oh, no, it's not disclaimer. Rejoinder, whatever. Please, oh, brethren, I have never been to Enugu. This and this and that and that and that. Listen, men who have been there say, don't bother. I know the money for a full-page advert is not much. He said, but don't bother. Are you guilty? No. If the brethren want to know, call you, answer them. But as for going outside, to go and defend yourself, they said it's against spiritual power. So I call weight of glory. So if God gives you money and influence before you do this, hey, before you understand this, you will be there defending yourself. That's when church goes scatter, ministry go end, God will withdraw power, whole and small. You get my point? Imagine that they left Peter and Co. to burn that city. Peter said, Lord, please move back. Should we call down fire from... You follow what I say? Keys of spiritual power, stop calling down fire recklessly. What am I saying here? The ability to carry that fire and not be burning people. You are carrying fire. You know you can call fire. If you read that article the other day, Bishop Oyedepo, the one I told you about, somebody says the Newswatch. Some people who were doing know that they had some issues with the ministry, and when they asked Bishop, he said that he had to restrain himself not to curse them. Point is that he restrained himself. That he was so angry and offended because what they said wasn't true, that the church did everything they were supposed to do and beyond. Yet these men were saying these things about the church and about him. He said, I had to restrain. You see what I'm saying? He had to do what? Restrain himself. That's, I'm talking about glory being what? Heavy. Many of us are praying for things that if God gave us, certified mentalism. You understand what I mean? You go crazy instantly. So you've been praying, God said, please, oh boy, you can't carry it. You can't carry it. I can't. He said, I've tested it before. I said, you can't carry it. Does it mean he won't give you? No, he just means go and develop muscles with which to carry it. And the moment the muscles are built enough, and I'm certain you can carry it, I'll release it. We pray for change. We don't pray for change outside. We pray for what? Change inside. The prayer point today is that place I'm going, two prayer points. The same thing anyway. What am I supposed to be like there? Now this scripture we quote all the time. It's Psalm 119 verse 144. It said, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. It said, give me understanding and what? I shall live. Let me explain that scripture again. The righteousness, the word righteousness means the correctness. That's a simple way to put it. The accuracy, the properly in orderness. You like those words I invent? Uh-huh. The properly in orderness of thy testimonies. Thy testimonies are thy, you know, we said it before, that God's word has different things. He has commandments, he has precepts, he has promises, or what you call his word, and then he has what he called testimonies. Testimonies are personalized commandments. Are you getting my point? They are what? Personalized commandments. No razor shall touch his head. It's not for everybody. You get what I'm saying? It's not for everybody. John the Baptist didn't drink wine. It was not for everybody. Jesus drank it. That's a matter of fact. They are personalized commandments. Those days, Deeper Life was didn't use the word television. They said it's the devil's box. I find it didn't start with them. It started from Holiness Movement in America. I know those things, a lot of those things start as testimonies, personalized commandments. God looked at them and said, listen, I don't want to see you in front of television. Even if you are preaching on it 10 times a day, you don't watch it. It's not a law for the whole church. It's not a law for the whole church. God knows why he says things, certain things to certain people. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not discussing that in detail. We discussed it before when we're talking about following God fully. All right? What I want to bring out is that David said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, they are everlasting. Listen to this. Give me understanding. This is what it means. Let me understand which ones are my own commandments beyond the general one. There's a general commandment everybody is supposed to obey. But there are some that are mine. Give me understanding, and then I will acquire success. That's I shall live. Live doesn't mean that I was dead. I'm not alive physically, breathing now. No. I shall live means I will rise out of obscurity. Are you getting my point? Into the place God wants me to be. I shall live means that I will rise out of failure into success. Give me understanding of my own personal commandments, and I shall live. Very crucial prayer point. Very, very crucial. Very, very crucial. There are people that God say, listen, no more obituary for you. Don't go. Nothing wrong with obito. Your friend will go, but you don't go. Listen, you may be a businessman. And God says, listen, in this country, as long as you are doing business in Nigeria, I don't want you ever to take a government contract. It's not a sin, is it? But for you, it's your own personal commandment. You just say, no, I'm not doing. I know men, that's what they swear by. Government job, sorry, we're not doing. Why? I can't give anybody kickback, kick center, kick front. I won't be able to pray. And my ability to pray is more important than the money I will make. Sorry. Talk from now to tomorrow, I'm not doing. Why? I'm not going to kick anybody back. So why expose myself to temptation? I don't even want to make you a prayer point. So I pray, Father God, today as I'm going to collect my money, let that man, that thief of a palm sec not be around. So his own is that, why should I add that to my list of prayer points? Listen, God can give me money from anywhere. I don't want this one that needs too much prayer. Personal testimony is personal. It's not a law that no Christian should take government contracts. No, it's not a law. There are places, personally, I don't like to go and preach. I told you, I have a rule now. Allah in God knows. I said, examine the letter. Talk to the people. Do this sound like they are looking for Michael Jackson? Once I feel like I'm going there to entertain them, they expect me to come with my best suit and drive my tallest car. So as I arrive, they'll say, yes, Michael J. done the land. Come down. Hey, praise God. And everybody just get excited. Say, I don't show. Say, my name no be Two-Face. He said, no, Pastor Banky, you know, if you go there, you may be able to reach some people. There are people that you know, some pastors, the way they dress, you know, they go to such places. So they bought gold like this. The size of the ring on their hands, the size of my ear. You see Jericho on my head? And speaking for now for nobody. You know what I'm saying? Now, nothing wrong with it. There are people like that. Listen, I'm not criticizing them. I mean, they are anointed to go and entertain and win some. First start, they enter, they say, first rap, two lines. Everybody go, hey, hey, hey. Maybe that's how God will bring all the cult boys on campus to come and hear the gospel. Right? Maybe. But this is not Pastor Banky's job. If it was my job, my wife gave me one suit the other day. Not even one, like two. I asked, you know, I tell her, I said, where will I wear it to? She didn't ask her. I said, where will I wear it to? I can't wear it to work. It doesn't look appropriate. One place I will not wear it to is Kingdom World Ministries. She's here. I said, I can't wait to go and preach. There was one suit. You see, Bishop has one. Bishop, where are you? Bishop has one. Now, two of us buy at the same time. One for Bishop, one for me. I wore it, looked in front of the mirror. I said, my wife, sorry, I don't want a good thing. He said, where? Why? Where will I wear it to? Where? Bishop wears his own for weddings to, you know, I see Bishop wears it. See, shining, looking very nice. But if I mount the pulpit like that, I'm not going to listen to the message again. You're going to say, Pastor, this is your suit, fine. Now, this is the point I'm just trying to make. This is the point I'm making. It's my personal testimony. If you don't, you're inviting me to go somewhere, I must see that you guys want to let, that is, you are ready to bring biro paper and write. I'm going to instruct you step by step. That's why I ask you, most of the invitations I get for 45 minutes, I want to go. Major program, me, talk for 45 minutes, you're out of your mind. I'm going. I'm a showman, that's what you're saying. Say, yeah, after Paul Agubata has ministered, then Pen and Principal will come up. Then, what's the name of the Samsung? We jam. Then you jam after them, all right? Pastor, is it okay? I say, no. Nothing wrong with it, though. Thank you, just doesn't like it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Oh, this is what I'm making. The righteousness of thy testimonies. He said, give me understanding. That is, you need to know the one that's your own. I was telling Bishop the other day, we were talking about, you know, I see houses. I said, why is that house like that? Bishop would say, no, sir. Bishop's an architect. I said, Bishop would say, no, sir. He's not the architect. He's the client. I said, how do you mean he's the client? He said, they know they're here. Listen, are you getting my point? You can decide that, well, I'm sorry, no client is dictating for me the building I'm putting on ground. That can be, listen, nothing wrong with that. Listen to client. Like, I'm not saying you listen to client at all. If they want 6 rooms, you say, what are you doing with 6? You need only 3. That's not what I mean. I mean, you look at the house, say, come and see a maker's house. See him. Draw him for me. It's in a lie. I don't know who to say. That's a draftsman. Me, I'm an architect. It's possible. It can just be your personal testimony that you listen to everything the client wants, but you have the final word on what is done. Maybe it's your personal testimony. Maybe. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? I'm just saying this to let you understand that you are moving to the next level. There are things you have to just learn. I can't teach you. I don't know it. Only God understands it because he's the one that's taking you there. Let me quickly add this one before I stop so we can pray. Listen, you cannot outthink God. Don't think you are thinking of an idea he did not think of before you. That God, you know, this place, the level I've been in, it's not big enough. So, there's a new idea I have. Come and see whether you will like it. No. The best you can do is to tap into that which he created ahead. And if that's the case, he already knew the rules. He understood. He knew. He wrote them down. How it will be that people in these places are supposed to behave. So, what he's giving you as personal testimony is your guide into coming into the place he created it to be. That's why it's only as you pray. Are you getting me? It's only as you pray. It's only as you pray that you'll understand those things. It's only as you pray. It's only as you pray. And that's why we're talking about school of prayer. Because when you understand all these things we have said up to this time, it's easy for you to pray and say, Lord, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall enter into the place of my appointment. Do you understand that? That simple prayer, now it means a different thing. When you are plotting your business, that you are listening out. And listen, don't be afraid that you will fail because you can't. Let me end with that one. What did I say?
Don't be afraid that because you can't.
You can't fail. You can, when you can go through a few, you know, you can experience a few setbacks. Everyone is a learning process, but failure is not possible. Listen, if between now, we use money to explain, not because we're thinking about money alone, but for business is easy to understand. If between now and the next 5 years, God's supposed to raise you from where you are now to making a turnover of 10 billion naira in a year, and in 2 years, you have not reached 10 million, listen to me, you will still reach 10 billion in that period, in that 5 years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, don't be in a hurry to reach 10 billion. Be in a hurry to learn your lessons. So every setback, you quickly learn your lesson. You know what I'm saying? This, don't be afraid of death. That's what death means. Not physical death alone, but business death, marital death. There are people who don't want to marry. Their father divorced their mother. If you're a Christian, that will... Look, listen, from the beginning, just know that it won't happen to you. Not just you wish, it's a matter of faith. You prayed about it, you told the Lord about it, you received it. And look, and you don't use human knowledge. Just by the way, I was quoting for somebody today in my office. Again, I've just discussed here before. Princess Diana married Prince Charles. Do you know why? He said, he's the only person that's not allowed to divorce me. And you know what he did to her? As arm of flesh. Her father and her mother, they got divorced when she was young. So she hated the concept of divorce. So to fight, he said, I will marry the prince. So that he will never, because that's the only person who by their law could not divorce her. He wants to be a king. Unfortunately, there are many things happened over the times. And then he had a son. She had a son who can be king. So the father doesn't have to be king. So the man divorced her. Because by that time she was begging for the divorce anyway. The point I'm making is that you can't solve your fears through human wisdom. Lean not on your own what? Understanding. Why I'm saying this is that a lot of people are afraid to take steps because of fear. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Are you getting my point? We handle our fears by faith. And because of that, I'm telling you, you will not fail. Amen. Your husband won't divorce you. Amen. Don't promise me you won't divorce me. You think Prince Charles promised Diana he will divorce him? He will divorce her. You better tell God, God promise me, and the Lord has promised already. Do you follow my point? Why I'm saying all of this is that don't be afraid. Because sometimes our fear is that if I make these kind of decisions, will business come? We are not begging for business. We are preparing for the one that God created. Do you follow my point? The righteousness of thy testimony or testimonies is everlasting. The righteousness. Give me understanding. And I shall live. Let me know my own testimonies. It is as you create, that is from the word of God, your own testimonies. As you are changed, that's when you are getting ready to enter into the next level. All your prayer for change must be about you, not about that change itself. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Have you understood me so far?
Yes, sir.
Therefore, we're ready to pray now. For the last few minutes we have, let us pray. Just remain seated. Just bow down your heads. We have learned the proper procedure. Prayer for change. That's what we are learning how to pray it. Last time we reviewed, we said, that which I see not, teach thou me. That is, if I have done iniquity, I would not do it anymore. We said, every man's way is right, all right, in his own eyes. Therefore, last time we asked the Lord for forgiveness. We asked him to reveal to us that which we did not know, which we were doing that was hindering our progress. Oh, that thing is so deep. I pray that God will give you understanding. It's so deep. Many things people are doing is hindering their progress. But we have gone forth to another level in our prayer for today. And that is, Lord, the next level I'm going to and the alternate level I'm going to, I need to be changed into that place. And my change will come as I imbibe your word. Therefore, I'm asking you, Father, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. He said, give me understanding and I shall live. So you are asking God. Oh, you are a preacher like Pastor Banky, like Pastor Okemute. Lord, I have ministered this way for some years. A time will come that I need to move to another level. I must be ready for that time. And maybe the time has come, but because I'm not ready, it is delayed in manifesting. And readiness means understanding new procedures. Readiness means understanding what to do and what not to do. Readiness means having a larger heart, having a greater vision. Therefore, we ask, I say, Lord, reveal to me the testimonies. My personal commandments, or even the general commandments I overlooked. Solomon was taught when he was young, kings, there are things they don't do in the morning. He was taught how to pray. When he asked God for wisdom, it wasn't a surprise. It didn't surprise God. His father had taught him, exalt wisdom and she shall promote you. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. He knew that he was taught. Therefore, say, Lord, teach me. God wants you to change into that next level more than you desire. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. You must understand that. He delights. So if his servants are obstructing the release of that prosperity, he's unhappy about it. Therefore, say, Lord, give me understanding. The way I've been doing my business, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been treating my customers, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been doing my ministry, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been broadcasting the word, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been preaching, the way I talk about other preachers, the way I minister, the way I speak the word, when I'm, there's something that I need to change that I can go to the next level. When Kenneth Hagin was going to change, the Lord revealed to him, he said, start printing your word on books. Start making tapes. Before Kenegan will go from one place to the other, talking. God called him one day and said, start writing these things down. That was where his own change began from. Say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. That's how people change. I said before, there are women that God said, listen, you don't have the heart of a wife. You are praying for a husband. God said, oh girl, you don't have the heart of a wife. Oh boy, your heart. I can't give a wife to you. You make her suffer. You think like a single man. So go and read a book that will teach you what I want you to be as a husband. And listen, before you read the last chapter, you will be married. People are asking, Lord, make me rich. God said, to do what? You have enough food. Your accommodation is comfortable. So what's your problem? You don't have the heart of a rich man. The one you have employed, how much are you paid? Government wants to raise minimum wage. You've been angry since. Instead of you to rejoice and pray for me to give you more so you can pay more. How do I raise you to employing thousands? When the two that are working for you are grumbling every day because you don't treat them well. Give me understanding and I shall live. That's how we move to the next level. Look. That is how we move to the next level. When we are tired of the present, what we do is say, God, what do we need to do to move to the next level? We don't just command the next level to come. We must ask God first, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Very important prayer. Let's thank God because he answers us all the time. This is the confidence. Hey, this season, as the year's end, that holiday season, get a small notepad. If you have a good smartphone, also very good. Start taking notes down on the changes you need to make in your ministry, the changes you need to make in your business, the changes you need to make. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He will bring a book to you. You will read it and take notes. Write them down somewhere so that you don't forget them. He said, write the vision. Make it plain. You must write it so that you will be able to see it. It will make you run. God has answered. In fact, once you are ready, listen, you'll be amazed. He said, make plain a way for the Lord in the wilderness, and the glory of God will be revealed, and every flesh will see it. So let's give him and say, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Say, Lord, we thank you because you have heard our prayers today. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, you will show us mercy early. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I said to you before, the number one thing God does for those he wants to bless is to correct them. Get ready for correction. Amen. If you're a businessman, it will come from your customers. It will come from reading a book. As a pastor, it will come from people over you and things you will hear somebody saying that you are not supposed to hear. Don't worry, hear it.
It's one thing I tell my wife all the time. I said, she's my wife. I said, we are not competing. If I'm wrong, nothing spoil. If I'm right, nothing spoil. It's not that, hey, I was right, you were wrong. What I'm bringing something here. As long as this marriage gets sweeter, who cares where the things began from? In the same manner, as long as you are corrected and you prosper by the correction, who cares? And your customer corrects you, eh? Some people tell their customer, I didn't sell the business because of you. Your shop will soon close. If they correct you, hear it. You need to be corrected. There are things that God has been speaking to some people. Stubbornness is why you are still at that level. There are those that God gave a commandment. This is how you are going to spend your money. You will divide it like this, like this, like this. You will keep this amount to expand this business. But you wanted to use an iPad. You wanted to wear a fine shoe. You bought things on credit from the money God commanded you to use to increase your business. You have been paying debt. See and so. And you are sowing seed for prosperity. Disobedience. You need correction. Kenneth Hagin said something in one of his books. He said he suffered hard at a particular time because he was unfaithful in his ministry. He was going into debt every month because he was unfaithful in his ministry. He was managing his money the best he could, but God said, I will bless you if you minister well. He was unfaithful in the ministry. You need to pray that God will open your eyes to see where you should work on your faithfulness. That principle occurs everywhere, in business, in ministry, in a marital life, in every aspect of life. You will be angry with your wife. Why is she so stubborn? Why is she like this? God said, you have not been reading your Bible. That's why your wife is stubborn. You are stubborn towards me. You see? We need to open our hearts for what? Correction. And you see, God doesn't want to change by your strength. He wants to change by the power of grace. If you change, if you hear the word, and you accept, only acknowledge your iniquity. If you just say, yes, Lord, this is what I have done that is wrong. He will give you the power to do differently. That's what he does. But when you start justifying, you will be on, look, another year will come and end. You will still have to hear this message again and operate by the things taught in it. But that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your heart will be opened. You have a heart of flesh that God can correct, remold, and bring into the place where kings are supposed to be. Amen. Because indeed you are a king in your own right. Amen. Father, we thank you because you are good. In the name of Jesus Christ.